Thanks for choosing Dicobe Tapes. If you enjoy this tape, you can order other titles from us by calling 1-800-999-3381 or visit our website at www.dicobe.com.
God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, so thank you again. Sorry, I got flustered. Okay, so enjoy this part of our program. Thank you.
Okay. Good day, all. I'm a real alcoholic of the Hopeless Variety. My name's Harmon Vealey. Good day. Like we said, it is good to be home, and thank you guys for being here. And if you've never been to this part of Founders Day, this has been, is, and always will be the best part of Founders Day, because God is here, and look at the weather that he's given us. And once again, I would like to welcome everybody to the 85th anniversary celebration of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's called Founders Day, Akron, Ohio. We're here to celebrate one of God's biggest love stories. The title of that love story is called Alcoholics Anonymous. Because of God's grace, and because I'm a member in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, I found a group called Alcoholics Anonymous that had a textbook called Alcoholics Anonymous. And within the pages of that book, I found the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And as a result, I'm sober today 12,026 days. That's 32 years, 11 months, and 2 days, or July 10th of 1987. Some call that a sobriety day. I call that my love day, that this love story that we're talking about today called Alcoholics Anonymous. And I want to make it clear that that's not because of me. That's in spite of me. And you know what? I'm so grateful that you all are here and this thing called recovery. And I'm so grateful for that. And some people are and some aren't. What I mean by that is I got two neighbors in this. One neighbor, we got to be good friends. And he says, man, I'm so glad you got sober. I said, well, why is that? He said, well, you haven't parked your car in my front yard for 32 years. And then, you know, I said, okay, I get it. My other neighbor over here says, man, I'm mad at you that you got sober. I said, what are you talking about? He says, you cost me a lot of money. I said, what are you talking about? He says, well, yeah, since you got sober, I had to get cable TV because you were the entertainment on Saturday night. We'd sit and watch you fall asleep in the snow bank or get kicked out of the house. And now you were the forerunner of reality TV. But either way you go with that story, it's one of the many blessings to be sober, to be able to talk to your neighbors instead of be talked about. Now, if you can, obviously we're here today not only to pay tribute, but also to say thanks for our lives. Speaking of thanks for today, must say thank you, Joey and Kate, for coming up. Thank you, Jeff Capen, and the rest of the committee, and the foresight to do this, and it's just been unreal. And, of course, I want to thank Almighty God for this honor and privilege, because I'm here to tell you that this is an opportunity and a privilege and honor that is second to none. I just can't put it into words. Anyhow, it's strange to say, obviously, the story that don't ever let the truth get in the way of a good story. And this is a good story, and I believe it's true. I was doing a talk one time in Paris, Ohio, that is. Anyhow, and I mentioned my sponsor, who happened to be here, Ted. Thank you. He's in the background. Thank you for Ted. If it wasn't for you, baby, I wouldn't be here. I was talking about Ted's sponsor, Casey Stewart. And this old-timer at the meeting says, who'd you say? I said, well, Casey Stewart. She goes, you know about him? I said, no, but I'm sure you're going to tell me. She goes, I will. Casey Stewart had a sponsor by the guy named Bob Bennett. Bob Bennett's sponsor was a guy named Dr. Robert Holbrook Smith. So as you can see, we're all here today to say thank you to our co-founders, because all of our lineage can be traced back and 9 can be traced back, and I sure hope that's a true story. Now, I know another one, and this is a true story, with the times that we had, we were talking about how things have changed with people staying at home and pandemic, and it happens to be about a Al-Anon and AA. Anyhow, after 3 months of quarantine, the Al-Anon tried to get some action going that night, so she put on her sexiest dress of time past, and she looked in the mirror, and she was horrified. She cried and cried out to her alcoholic husband. She goes, "I feel terrible. I look old. I look fat. I look ugly. I really need a compliment from you." Without hesitation, her alcoholic husband said, "Well, honey, your eyesight looks like it's damn near perfect. So be careful, boys. You can have yourself a long summer if you're not too cautious." Anyhow, where are we? We are here at beautiful Mount Peace Cemetery in Akron, Ohio. And this is the final resting place, as you can see, of Dr. Bob, his wife, Ann Ripley. And if you can get behind there after we're over with, their daughter, Sue Smith, and her husband is buried there. And unbeknownst to us, this is a family plot of 8. There were 2 other plots, and they were given back to Dr. Bob's home. We just received those in 2018. Didn't even know that these things existed, but they were donated anonymously from somebody down in Alabama. And it's a lot of things are coming back home, if you will, back to Akron, Ohio. Well, also, it's so cool. Please take a look at this flower urn with the 4 absolutes. We'll talk about that: honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love. Go to great lengths to maintain and respect this grave, because people from the country come and the world really come over. Strange as it may seem, God picked a city called Akron, Ohio, for the birthplace of AA. Akron is derived from the Greek word akros, which means high. Oddly enough, Akron's located in Summit County, Ohio, which also is high. Therefore, his partner, Bill Wilson, affectionately called Akron, quote, "the city on the hill that cannot be hidden." Bill also said it was here that the miracle happened. "This is the hill where AA beacon was lit. From here, the light spread outward to guide others, and now it's casting its glow over an ever-widening area." Because Akron is the city of God, its purpose is to let our light shine to glorify the Father, which is in heaven. The light to freedom shines from Akron, Ohio. And it's hallowed ground where we're at, obviously, Mount Peace Cemetery, but it's so crucial to Dr. Bob's legacy. From here, we are 6 minutes or 1.2 miles to Dr. Bob's home. We're 6 minutes or 2.5 miles away from St. Thomas, where he and Sister Ignatia ministered to 5,000 alcoholics. We're 8 minutes or 1.9 miles from the Mayflower Hotel, where Bill made the famous call, where they met at the Gatehouse, which happens to be just 6 minutes away, or 1.7 miles. And last but not least, we're 2 minutes away from Dr. Bob's home group, the King School Group. How would you like to be buried that close to your home group? I know a lot of them tried to bury us all there one time or another, but that's where it is. And I mean, in God's providence, look how where it is as the crow flies. And it's just a beautiful dynamic, if you will, and put Mount Peace Cemetery right in the middle. So the moral of the story is, let the sun shine in. A little bit of history about here. Today is the 46th year of this procession. The first year started was June 16th, 1974, with 2 motorcycle police, 35 cars, and 4 buses, and they said it was more like a funeral. Now, obviously, hard enough to get the exact numbers, but last year when we came here, there was about 25 police officers, almost 3,000 motorcycles, 150 cars, 16 tour buses, and 2 bicycles. And those are hard to get because it's like trying to herd cats to try to get an accurate census. But it did take 37 minutes from the first bike that got here to leave from Akron U, and it's a steady stream from there to here, and that's miles and miles long. Even though the procession can be traced back to June 16th of 74, the first tribute here was June 15th, 1958. It was Founders Day weekend, and the first tribute was delivered by Bill Wilson, as it should have been, because they were partners in the truest sense of the word. And as God saw fit, the second Bill got done with this, obviously this tribute, some church bells rang, and I'm sure those were the angels in heaven saying, "We approve." Let's open this today, if we can, by praying the serenity prayer from our heart instead of saying it from our head, please. God grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. In Bill's tribute to Dr. Bob, he said there really is no such thing as a eulogy, but there is such a thing as gratitude and appreciation. So this day, we're not only here to pay tribute, but we're here to say thanks and express our appreciation to Dr. Bob, his beautiful wife, affectionately known as Annie, and of course, their two children, Sue and Smitty, and even their two dogs, Roger and Scotch was his other dog. Go figure, that was Dr. Bob's favorite drink, so pretty creative. But the dogs even had to sacrifice because they had to be put in the basement when the drunks were coming in. If we can, let's remember the slender threads of our humble beginnings and how miraculously that we stand here today. First of all, it was only 17 years after the most severe pandemic in the recent history. 50 million people died worldwide, 675,000 in this country died as well. Second of all, we're in the middle of the worst economic downturn in the history of the industrial world. And obviously third, and maybe most important, it was only 4 years away from the beginning of World War II. So does any of that sound familiar? But don't forget, they didn't have what we have with the phone, with the cell phones and all that. So what I'm saying is Alcoholics Anonymous was born out of confusion. It was born out of chaos. It was born out of desperation. And like a phoenix, we rose from the ashes back then. And I've got news for you, we're going to rise again from the ashes that may be going on today. Because of the conditions of that time, the entire Smith family, they really were the original frontline workers. They were the original first responders. They were the original hometown heroes. They were in the trenches from the beginning of this thing till they both passed away. Today we want to remember all of their sacrifices, and they gave them all. I mean, they were all in. They gave mental sacrifice, emotional, spiritual, and physical sacrifices so you and I could live happy, joyous, and free. First were the kids. They were teenagers when this whole deal happened, Sue and Smitty. Now, how would you like, if you were a teenager, to come home to your bed and it was full of strange alcoholics? It wouldn't go over too good, but that's how they'd come home, and there'd be UD, unknown drunks. That's how, what Dr. Bob used to call them. And they'd be in their beds. They'd have to go up to the third floor over in Ardmore. My God, if that didn't make you want to go to Al-Anon, nothing would have, huh? So anyhow, their son Smitty said this, quote, "I loved it. The first 17 years of my life, I lived with active alcoholism, and now there was recovery. The kids not only gave up their beds in their rooms, but they also shared their food. They shared their mom and dad. They shared it all. Little do those kids know that they were eyewitness to history, but their sacrifices were essential to Alcoholics Anonymous. Sue and Smitty grew up in a household, home day meetings that approached 70 people before they moved to King School. That's where they used to meet. How would you like to brought a friend home to 70 alcoholics in your house? And I tell you what, I don't know, you wouldn't have friends for too long. But anyhow, both Sue and Smitty captured memories as this time was going on and wrote a book. On the dedication page of this book, it says, quote, "For the many friends I've met and know as a result of the 12-step programs, you have taught me a way of life in these programs that I would have never figured out on myself. I am truly grateful." So you did see that the Smith kids were cut from the same cloth of Dr. Bob and Ann, and the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Both Sue and Smitty loved AA from the beginning, but they especially loved Bill Wilson and Lois Wilson. They used to call Bill Uncle Bill, and they used to call Lois Aunt Lois. And now we'll talk about the beautiful woman called Annie Smith. I know today I'll speak for myself, but I can speak for probably everybody here. We know it takes a mother to raise a boy, but it takes a wife to raise a man. And that I will defend that to the death because of personal circumstances. But like most alcoholic men, I'm truly blessed, and she don't ever let me forget it. So anyhow, I too, like Dr. Bob, have an angel for a wife. I call her an angel of the first degree. Sister Ignatia, Dr. Bob's partner at St. Thomas, said of Annie, quote, "In her own quiet way, she really was an angel." Dr. Bob acknowledged her contributions to AA, and Dr. Bob said, quote, "How my wife kept her faith and her courage, I'll never know, but she did. Had she not, I know I would not. I would have been dead a long time ago. For some reason, we alcoholics have a gift of picking out the world's finest women, Dr. Bob also said. I would not have maintained my sobriety without Ann's cooperative spirit. Bill Wilson said, Dr. Bob was called the Rock of AA, but Sister Ignatia was, Sister Ignatia said Annie was the backbone of AA. Annie was an English teacher by a trade. She had a profession, but guess what? Annie was the teacher, all right? She ended up teaching Dr. Bob and Bill. She was the teacher. They were the students. And we know when the pupil's ready, the teacher will appear. And lo and behold, it was Ann Ripley Smith. Annie taught him, obviously, if you stay humble, you won't stumble. She taught him it's better to be green and growing rather than ripe and rotten. Be a student, not a teacher. Be a pupil, not an instructor. Be a sheep, not a shepherd. Be a patient, not a physician. And Dr. Bob picked this one up. It's better to be, you don't want to be the sage on the stage, you want to be the guide on the side, because Dr. Bob just really didn't want to have any type of attention called to him. Bill called Annie both the mother of AA and also the co-founder of AA. She too could be considered a co-founder of Al-Anon because her ministration, the alcoholic spouse and the family. Dr. Bob said, obviously, Annie didn't just take drunks into their home, they took them into their hearts, especially Annie. And it says this, some stayed for months and were accepted as part of the family. Some stayed for over a year. They shared what we had. Mother was their daytime mentor. Her serenity was in the circumstances bred serenity among the alcoholics. Her counseling was done quietly and selflessly. She never lost faith in these guys. And of course, she was the one that was cooking the meals, making the beds, and cleaning up the messes. She was the one answering the telephone inquiries when the word began to trickle out. She made everyone stay there and have a quiet time in the morning where they might feel near to God. That was a requirement which involved some of reading the Bible study. It was one of her rules. Go figure, step 11, sat through prayer and meditation. Where do you think we got it? Faith without works. It's from this beautiful lady. Obviously, Dr. Bob said, Annie infused much-needed spirituality into me and Dr. Bob. Bill said her insistence that spirituality became for anything else. We can only say that it was priceless and magnificent. Every morning, Annie would lead Dr. Bob and Bill in morning prayer and meditation, reading from what they would call the good book or the big book. Obviously, we know that's the Bible. And they would end up for 1 hour reading the Sermon on the Mount, the book of James, the 13th chapter of the 1st Corinthians. Obviously, that's where we got that saying, faith without works is dead, and it's all through our textbook called Alcoholics Anonymous. Another reader is still on the table over at Ardmore, it's called The Upper Room, and it's still in production today. After Annie died in 1949, Bill asked the early AAs and their wives to comment on Annie. Many responded with wonderful letters and praise and acknowledgement of her love and support. But here's one that really reveals the miracles, and obviously the miracle that was taking place in Dr. Bob's and Ann's home. In the days when no one could afford a hospital, in the days when her own kitchen was a battlefield with prayer and hot coffee and good fellowship, and still more hot coffee, a soul was encouraged to go forth and make a first stand against liquor. Because this time you are not alone. Ann was the chief against the despondency and despair. Think back to those struggling days of 1935. Bill and Dr. Bob and some others would probably tell for a certain time Annie literally was Alcoholics Anonymous. The transition from the family group to the national organization in a vast degree was her accomplishment. She knew what the right thing was to do. She had the courage to do it. Intuitively, she began to set up as each new convert, a friend, and yet a separate, distinct unit. People write as of her now as though she started, departed, and she's still with us. That was Ann's special marriage, special message. She said, quote, carry God in your heart. Walk where you will walk with the knowledge that your friends are near you, she counseled. She planted self-confidence in people's hearts and imparted the secret of her own unquestioning faith, a reservoir of hope that others found adequate and never failing. Sometimes in the miracle, Ann effectively took place morning in, more simply, a handshake in a meeting, introducing people to friends, a visit to a home, no one could keep count. Annie did no preaching, but she did wrap everything up in a neat package. She said, quote, people, you have been good to be here. She said, be sure that you go out of your way to extend and welcome a newcomer whenever you meet them. And that's where that saying, keep coming back. Annie used to say that to the new people in the meetings. That's where that came from. People speak of her knowing how to say the right thing is just the right way. To a newcomer, case-hardened, fearful, facing embarrassment, negative in thinking, because she had seen her husband be reformed before she was dubious about the whole thing, she merely said, we're all here for the same purpose. Everything will be all right. And everything was all right. But it was greater and still unknown human field that soul that Ann Smith affected her world. From that fateful day in 1935 when AA took shape in the persons of Bill and Dr. Bob, both certain as what could have done for himself, both determined to make a man of each other, she saw her field of usefulness and seized it. No man or woman is powerful enough to defeat alcoholism unaided, but any sincere alcoholic can help rescue another alcoholic and saving himself freedom. That was a program, and with God's aid and her husband's tremendous power, he was a big man, a man of deep voice, great spirit. She set herself to extend the program to reach thousands who asked to be freed of slavery and drink. And here's who Annie was and wasn't. Annie was small, but calm, subtle, unassuming, and didn't abhor pretense and abstination. Annie was void of self-seeking, but was brave and courageous, and she was extremely tolerant, kind, and loyal. No sacrifice was too great for her. Annie seemed rather timid, would rise to greater heights to battle for people than principle that she believed in, called Alcoholics Anonymous. Lois said of Annie was the most wonderful, wise, understanding. Her heart was as big as the outdoors. Lois said she was so warm, so gracious, so good, a most loving and understanding person who ever showed great wisdom. Here's what some of the early aides and their wife said about Annie. She was so sweet, everybody loved her. She was so wonderful, never stopped showing her love and concern for others. Annie was reserved, cheerful, sweet, and calm, and she was gracious and charming and friendly woman I had ever known. And those were just uncandid comments about Annie. She was a good listener. She was wise. She understood. You couldn't be afraid when you were with Annie. Annie's love changed things. Her love cracked the proud ones. Time after time, I saw her melt some other person's heart. Annie had the bigness of heart to continue to think of others, especially newcomers. Bill said, the love, the joy, the beauty, the grace, and the wonder that came out of that hallowed home at Ardmore, I will never find equal on the face of the earth. All that started with Ann Ripley Smith, the mother of AA. Truly, her soul is marching on, and she will never, ever be gone. Now we go to the good doctor, Dr. Bob, and got to interject this. Don't you think that's got a great sense of humor? Picking Dr. Robert Holbrook Smith as a co-founder of AA, obviously, and he was a proctologist. And if you guys don't know about that, is go home and Google or talk to your sponsor. In other words, what the Al-Anons say, Dr. Bob was a brain surgeon for alcoholics. I said, why do you say that? She said, that's because that's where your head's been all this time until you got sober. I'm just reporting it. I'm just delivering the mail. And as the story goes, in Akron, Dr. Bob knew every ass in Akron through his practice or being in AA. I don't know about that. A lot of sayings can be attributed back to Akron, Ohio. And one of them was that old saying, you bet your ass, that comes from Akron, because when you went to Dr. Bob's office when he wasn't sober, you were betting on it because you didn't know what was going to happen when he left the office. So anyhow, like that story, and they're saying that he knew them all. There's all kinds of different things where we can go from here as far as the story about the people. Of course, he knew every other kind of ass that you can imagine. Smart, dumb, horses, hard, fat, hot. You can go on forever. So next time you hear that saying, say, I know where that came from. But really, who was Dr. Robert Holbrook Smith? He was known as Dr. Bob, a father, a husband, a doctor, and yeah, a real alcoholic. He was a great father to Sue and Smitty. They said he spoiled us rotten. But also, Dr. Bob had a strong fatherly influence of all things with Bill Wilson. God knew the two to put together. Bill accepted Dr. Bob's counsel, respected his judgment, and admired his demonstrations of spiritual principles. Dr. Bob, as a husband, you have Danny? Call her. She's my lady. And you ask her every day, how's our love today? Dr. Bob is a good doctor and a accomplished surgeon, pardon the pun, but he could really cut away the crap. I'm talking about when he worked with new people. We call that soul surgery. Yeah, that's what it is. As an alcoholic, Dr. Bob said, I just love my grog. He loved to drink. Dr. Bob got a dragon tattoo on his back from shoulder to shoulder, and back in the day, they didn't ink people. And can you imagine a doctor doing that? He would joke with Smitty and say, that was a real bender, that one. Dr. Bob had two firsts. Obviously, his first was for knowledge, and the second was for scotch, or vice versa, or whatever. Dr. Bob, just like us, he loved to live, loved to laugh, smile, smoke cigarettes, play cards, drive fast, golf, play pool. He was a real mad dog. Like our book says, our textbook says, outward appearances don't equal real inner realities at all. So fitting describing Dr. Bob, because on the outward appearance and your first impression, sometimes he was a big man, 6 foot, broad shoulders, horn-rimmed glasses, with hands uncommonly large and strong. I bet you that made a lot of his patients nervous too. But anyhow, Dr. Bob looked stern, reserved, formal, but he could be blunt, but not rude, rather quick-spoken, but always polite. Obviously, Dr. Bob was shy, his appearance, but sometimes his gruff exterior, he seemed distant. However, once you got to know him as a friend, his true personality came out. The inward reality of Dr. Bob, he was kind, understanding, friendly, generous, full of fun. He loved the laughs, he loved the joke, he had that New England twang, and he used slang all the time, nicknames to lighten the mood, to give him, give away his sense. He had a really quick-witted sense of humor. Here's a few that he used. He used to call a woman a frail. Abercrombie was a friend. The UD I talked about, unknown drunk, he used to call Sister Ignatia Ig. Bill Wilson, he used to call him Willie and Sir William. That's perfect, right? Dr. Bob would call his student nurses woman, except if you're a special one, he'd call them sugar. I know that was back then, not now, I get it. Anyhow, one thing for sure, he never took himself too serious, as opposed to maybe the forerunner Rule 62. This attitude was displayed in how he dressed. If you get a chance, do a little bit of history. He had wild ties, purple striped socks. He wore too short of surgical pants when he would go in, and a surgeon hat that looked like a baker's hat. Now, I know that's a vision for you, but that's how he was. He always tried to lighten up the thing. Even though he seemed firm, his nature was fair, sympathetic, and compassionate. Dr. Bob was a man's man. What I mean by that, he loved to swim, fish, hunt, loved outdoors, played horseshoes, and like I said, he really, his appearance matched what he loved to do. Dr. Bob had a practical side to him, too. He'd sit in the second row of King's School wearing glasses and a sweater. I know it sounds like Mr. Rogers, but anyhow, he would tell people at King's School, you didn't prepare to get drunk, get up there and talk. Yeah, he was a man of few words. Dr. Bob would usually lead his meetings when he was talking by starting a sentence out of the Bible. Dr. Bob would say, quote, God, you and I together can do anything without a drink today. And Dr. Bob knew you couldn't outgive God. The more you give God, the more you get, the more you owe. And he knew that. And what I'm saying with that, this is how he lived it. In his surgical practice, he'd have three surgeries lined up at St. Thomas. He would do two for the Lord. In other words, he wouldn't charge people, and he'd do one for RHS. He gave away twice as what he was doing, and they needed the money because they were struggling. It was those times. Dr. Bob sensed his smallness compared to God's greatness. Dr. Bob loved what he served and served what he loved, and that was God and AA. And that was obviously, Bill said this about Dr. Bob, that he was the prince of the 12-steppers because he 12-stepped 5,000 people, him and Sister Alicia at St. Thomas, not charging a penny. So I suppose she could have been called the princess of the 12-steppers. Dr. Bob possessed an inner strength. He was calm, comfortable, not hurried, had a soft and low voice most of the time. He always gave help and guidance. Dr. Bob had three fundamentals. And the first one was simplicity. The second one was tolerance. And the third one was passing this on. Some of Dr. Bob's favorite sayings were, keep it simple. Honesty gets us sober. Tolerance keeps us this way. And Dr. Bob used these four absolutes. Absolute honesty, absolute purity, absolute unselfishness, absolute love. He called them the measuring sticks or the yardsticks. If you're trying to find out what God's will was, if you put it to the test of those four and it measured out yes on all of them, then it was God's will. Here's something that we found, a book that was given to us just last year. These are the words that Dr. Bob wrote about love in his own handwriting. 9 ingredients of love. Patience, kindness, generosity, humility, courtesy, unselfishness, good temper, godlessness, and I had to look that up, that's honestly without being deception, and sincerity. And Betty, let me tell you, he practiced that and he lived those. Dr. Bob also wrote, the greatest thing a man can do for his heavenly father is be kind to some of his other children. Dr. Bob wrote this, love begets love, love never fails. So if you want to get even with somebody, love them. If you really want to get even with them, pray for them, right? Bill used to say, it's not the quantity of the 12-stepping that counts, it's the quality. I'm here to tell you, nobody did better quantity or quality than Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob said, I think that the thing that really counts is giving service of yourself, and I think we can't do anything very well in this world unless we practice it, and I don't believe we do AA too well unless we practice it. Out of the mouth of the founder. Bill said of Dr. Bob, simplicity, devotion, steadfastness, and loyalty, these were the hallmarks of Dr. Bob. Bill also said of Dr. Bob, his capacity for brotherhood and love were beyond my ken. Dr. Bob was very spiritual. He read the Bible cover to cover 3 times. He had a library of spiritual books, over 300 titles. We're trying to reassemble that over at the house now. This guy read for at least an hour a day of spiritual books. Dr. Bob was known as the gentle healer, but always referred to Almighty God as the great physician. And he went to the great physician with all of his needs. Because that one, because of that, Bill said, Dr. Bob was always near to the truth, near to the power that I sought. He found it in his own simple approach to life. I think it placed him closer to our Creator than any other man I know. Dr. Bob's prescription for sobriety was simple. Trust God, clean house, help others. It's been updated, and now the simple version is wash your hands, wear your mask, and stay 6 feet apart, right? If Dr. Bob, if Bill was the heart of AA, Dr. Bob was the soul. Humility was his trademark, talking about Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob was very humble, and he said of himself, I'm very human. And he said, I'm not very efficient, I know little, and I'm somewhat allergic to work. I like this guy real good here. When you ask him about his contribution, he would just kind of chuckle it off and humbly reply, oh, I just work here. This was down at St. Thomas. This was nothing. He was a chap. This is Bill talking. Dr. Bob was a chap of modesty, singularly against taking any personal claim or honor. When it was time for them to be buried here, Ann and Dr. Bob were gravely ill. Many wanted to erect a monument or memorials, but he insisted, and he said, Annie and I plan to be buried just like other folks. Another example of simplicity was Dr. Bob's last words to Bill. Bill was pulling away, and Dr. Bob was dying, and they knew it over. They knew it was over. This was the last words they were going to say. They couldn't say what was on their heart. And Bill was on the street going down Ardmore. Dr. Bob was at the top of the steps in a gray suit. And he said to Bill, remember, Bill, let's not loss this up. Let's keep this thing simple. And then he just had tears in his eyes, and that was it. And that was the last words that they said to each other. Dr. Bob never wanted to take any credit for anything, especially his sobriety or being called a co-founder. In fact, he said, it was a great source of satisfaction to me that I may have played some small part in getting this started. Maybe I'm taking too much credit for our too much grand, I don't know, but I feel I was just simply used as God's agent. That was his exact words. In his humble nature, Dr. Bob said, I'm no different than any of you fellows or girls, except I was given a little more fortunate that I got this message a little while before some of you have gotten it. Dr. Bob said, I've been blessed and blessed in great measure. When Dr. Bob received the gift of happiness and peace of mind, he said, quote, I feel very grateful and thankful that Heavenly Father has seen fit that I enjoy them. Dr. Bob humbly accepted God's grace. Dr. Bob humbly acknowledged God's power in the last words of his story in the big book says this, your Heavenly Father will never let you down. Dr. Bob used to say, I don't have any right to get cocky about getting sober. It's only through God's grace that I did. This attitude towards high praise and standing ovations had to do something with his search for humility, a thing he observed, which most of us are too blessed. On his desk, Dr. Bob's desk, he had a plaque, and it defined humility, and it goes as this, quote, perpetual quietness of heart is to have no trouble. It's never to be fretted or vexed or irritable or sore, to wonder at nothing that is done to me and feel nothing that is done against me. It's to be at rest when nobody praises me, when I'm blamed or despised. It's to have a blessed home to myself where I can go and shut the door and kneel to my Father in secret. Be at peace as in a deep sea of calmness when all around me is singing trouble. My God, that's like written yesterday. Dr. Bob also said, it's only through God's grace that I did anything. I can feel very thankful that I was privileged to do anything. Dr. Bob always gave God the credit for anything and everything. But Dr. Bob knew that along with a privilege is responsibility. And he answered that bell more than anybody that I know. And Dr. Bob said, through his own kindness, talking about God's strength comes, he also said, I should have a very humble attitude towards my source of strength. Dr. Bob declared gratefully, I should have never ceased to be grateful for the feelings and blessings that come my way. Bill said of Dr. Bob, the last talk at the first International Convention in 1950, quote, you'll never hear a finer speech in all of AA history. Like I said, Dr. Bob's last words to all of us were not to louse us up with Freudian complexes, also to simmer down the 12 steps, the two words, love and service. We understand what love is and what service is. Last but certainly not least, Dr. Bob said, let us also remember to guard that hearing, remember the tongue. And if we must use it, let's use it with kindness, consideration, tolerance. And one more thing, none of us would be here today if somebody hadn't taken the time to explain things to us, give us a pat on the back, take us to a meeting or two, and have done numerous little kind and thoughtful acts on our behalf. So let us never get the degree of smug complacency that we're willing to extend a hand to those that have been beneficial, less our unfortunate brothers. Bill Wilson said this about Dr. Bob. Never would Dr. Bob have us think him be a saint or Superman. Nor would he have us praise him or grieve his passing. He can almost be heard saying, you folks are making too heavy going. I'm not to be taken so serious as all that. I was only the first link in the chain of providential circumstances, which is called AA. By grace and great fortune, my link did not break, though my faults and failures might have often brought that unhappy result. I was just another alcoholic trying to get along under the grace of God. Forget me, but you go and do likewise. Securely add your link to our chain. With God's help, forge that chain truly and well. When leaving, if you can, go over here. I call it God's Design. Check out the mausoleum. That's where sometimes we are. I call it God's Design. Because on it, it's got the praying hands, and we all know where that's in a lot of meetings. It's got the Sermon on the Mount on it. It's got two sayings on it. First one is, more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. And the second one is, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy, and I will give you rest. And obviously, there's another one that talks about the Good Shepherd, and I am the resurrection of life. Once again, is that honor, is that God? Last but not least, Dr. Bob would have had a simple message, but his example of kindness and consideration lives on the lives of AA members worldwide. That flame became Akron Alcoholics Anonymous was lit in Akron, and Dr. Bob was a steady breeze that caused that flame to burn and spread. I heard Dr. Bob's son, Smitty, say that if it was up to his father, AA would have never gotten out of West Akron. And I think that Smitty was mistaken, but Dr. Bob was responsible for much of AA's growth. growth and his real contribution to AA still echoes in meetings throughout the world. Each time a member offers encouragement, love, and a pat on the back to another member, Dr. Bob's spirit is manifest. Dr. Bob always looked up to God with trust and humility, praying not only to do good, but to be good. Dr. Bob knew with privilege come responsibility, and he was the epitome of that example, to go from selfishness to selflessness, the bottom thing of our taught tradition, that spiritual anonymity. Dr. Bob also taught us that old saying, preach the gospel, and sometimes even use words. Like the conference approved pamphlet says, the member's eye view of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it says, quote, go and repeat what you have heard, go and what you have seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise. And it's been said that hindsight is 20/20. That's so apropos, that motto, in the year 2020. The past we inherit, the present we predict, our future we create. God's given us a wonderful opportunity right now, liking that. God's pushed the pause button, the reset button. I'm damn glad he didn't press the delete button, but anyhow, God's given us a great opportunity. My question is, what are we going to do with that opportunity? How shall we spend this opportunity he's given us? In other words, everybody wants to go to heaven, right? Yeah? But nobody wants to die first. And I got news for you, you don't have to die, because we're in heaven right here, right now. The book talks about it, and this is the promised land. Anyhow, Dr. Bob and Ann died, and so we can live. God has given us a great realization, and it's this. AA was built by one God, but it's kept going by many men and women. So in AA, this is not the great divide. This is the great unite, 2020. There's two sides to every coin. It's the great unite. So with the legacy of Dr. Bob and Ann, let's carry it on. And the final tribute to Dr. Bob and Ann and Almighty God is titled two words, Amazing Grace. The title says a lot, but the first words, or 26 words, says it all. And Joey came all the way up, and these are the words, and he plays it three times. And when he's done playing it, then we close with our Lord's Prayer, where it says, Our Father. But Joey plays it for three times. 28 years you've been doing it? Where is he? 28 years. There he is. 28 years this guy's been doing it. So him and I have been off and on for 28 years, kind of like a married couple off and on or whatever. I call this the retirement tour now. Look at this. So yeah, we were a lot younger once upon a time, right? So anyhow, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but I am now found. Was blind, but now I see. And like I said, Joey's going to do it like nobody does it. He's going to do it once for Annie. He's going to do it once for Dr. Bob. And he's going to do it once for us. And then we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. And I want to say with that, Godspeed, and we will see you face to face, Akron, Ohio, next June. So, can you do your thing? Hold on, dude. I'm going to give you the power. Lack of power was our dilemma. I was fast off. I ain't used to this. Are you kidding me, sir? Huh?
Mike stays about 6 foot from him.
Do you want me to keep it?
If you can.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. So 6 feet away. We're socially distancing. We're microphone distance. So. When they say keep coming back, that's what they mean, baby. All right. I'm sorry. Is this good, man? Oh, yeah. All right. That's pretty scary, too. Yeah, it is, man. That's it.
Thank you.
and close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thanks for choosing Dycobe Tapes. If you enjoy this tape, you can order other titles from us by calling 1-800-999-3381 or visit our website at www.dycobe.com.